Hello everyone, this is Gabriel from Feeding with Love, and I have a word to share with the listeners who are listening to this message. God has placed in my heart a word to share, and out of obedience, I am doing this right now. And the word comes from a very familiar portion of Scripture. It's actually so familiar that even those who don't read the Bible are familiar with it. And that's John chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm actually going to start by reading it off. If you have a Bible, you can follow along. If you don't have a Bible, just pay very close attention. And I pray that the word that you hear will penetrate your heart, okay? Because that's the power of God's word. God's word is supposed to penetrate your heart. And the Bible does speak of God's word being like a sharp double-edged sword, okay? So it's able to penetrate very deeply. And not only do I pray that the word is heard today, but I pray that not only you hear the word, but actually apply the word to your life, the word that you are about to hear, and so that you will be doers of the word, and that you will live according to the way God desires you to live. Okay? So let's turn, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. And it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Okay, so here we see a very familiar portion of Scripture. It should never be so familiar that it just goes in one ear and out the other, or that you just kind of read over it or brush over it and it doesn't have any value to you. You should approach God's word with the utmost respect and the utmost honor and the utmost sincerity. And if for some reason you're reading a portion of Scripture and you don't understand, it's okay. You can pray, because even in the Gospels, the disciples, they did not understand, though they were following Jesus and he taught many things to them. But there were some things they did not understand. And so they asked him. They asked him to reveal to them what the meaning was. And so we are also encouraged to do the same, to humble ourselves and ask the Lord to help us find out what the meaning of that particular word is. Okay, so let's look at the first phrase, "For God so loved the world." Okay, so the world of humanity is what God's word is speaking of, the world of humanity, the whole world of humanity, human beings. And we have to kind of take a look and understand exactly what predicament came and what situation human beings are currently in. Human beings, according to the word of God, all mankind are in sin, okay? All have sinned, the Bible says. Let's actually look at that portion of Scripture so we can understand the condition of the world. Speaking of the world here, when we look at the love of God, the love that God has towards sinful humanity, okay? The love that God has towards sinners. So let's just kind of get an idea as to the type of love that he has towards sinners, the love of God. And so we see this phrase that he loves the world so much. He loves the world who is drenched in sin and sunken in the deepest darkness as a result of sin. Okay? And I want to say that in regards to God's love, in regards to God's love for the sinner, in regards to God's love for the world, he loves the world so much, as we just read, but he does not love the sin. Okay? Did you get that? He loves the sinner, but he doesn't love the sin. Okay, so some might come away with this and say, well, he loves me, and so he'll accept whatever I do. It's actually the opposite. The opposite is true. He loves you, yes, he does love you, but he will not tolerate and he does not accept anyone who continues down the path of sin. He will not accept or tolerate anyone who continues down the path of unrighteousness, down the path of wickedness. Let's actually take a look at this. Well, I said we're going to take a look at one scripture that conveys that we are all sinners, and we're going to actually go back to that concept. But let's just look at Romans chapter 3, so we can see what God's word says in regard to humanity and sin, their relation to sin. Okay, Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And so that all encompasses everyone in the whole world. All human beings throughout human history, from Adam, our first father, and Eve, our first mother, our parents, the representatives of humanity, Adam being the representative of humanity, from Adam to this present day, all human beings throughout all history have sinned. Okay, so the Bible makes it clear that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I said that God loves the sinner, but he doesn't desire for the sinner to continue on the path of sin. Okay, let's look at some scriptures that will help us take a glimpse, get a glimpse of God's heart of love, okay, in regards to the plight of humanity and sin, and how God's heart actually reflects that. Okay, so let's take a look at, let's look at the book of, just bear with me if you will, let's look at the book of 2 Peter. Okay, 2 Peter. I found the scripture here. Let's look at the epistle of 2 Peter that's found in the New Testament. Okay, 2 Peter. All right. We have Hebrews. We have James. We have 1 Peter. And we have 2 Peter. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read starting at verse 9. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 9. And it reads, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Okay, so Peter here is talking about, in context, he's talking about the promise of the Lord's coming, and along with the Lord's coming comes the judgment that he's going to bring upon the world, okay? And so in its context, Peter is basically saying, look, the Lord isn't slow to fulfilling his promise, okay? He is going to do what he says he's going to do. At the end of the age, he is going to come and he's going to administer judgment to all those who refused his love, okay? But he is long-suffering, okay? He is long-suffering. In other words, he is patiently waiting for humanity to accept He's patiently waiting for humanity to receive his love towards them. Okay? He is long suffering. In other words, he is suffering through all of the sin that humanity is doing, all of the sin and wickedness that is going on in throughout all humanity, and he's suffering through it for a long time. Okay, that phrase, long suffering, conveys his patience to endure through all of the sinfulness of humanity. And he's being this patient because it says that he does not have a desire that anyone should perish. It is not in his heart's desire that to see anyone perish. Okay? It is not in his heart's desire to see any soul perish. And when the Bible speaks of perish, the Bible specifically means damnation or hellfire. Okay? Hell. The lake of fire being the ultimate judgment. Okay? But God does not desire to see any soul go to hell. He is patiently waiting for you, if that is you who happens to be the individual who has refused his love. He's patiently waiting for anyone who has heard the message of the gospel, that he so loved the sinful world of humanity that he has made a sacrifice by giving up his only begotten son so that they might be saved and not perish everlasting, but that they might have life everlasting. If you have heard this message of the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ and have refused it, it breaks his heart. It breaks the heart of God to see the condition of humanity, let alone it even breaks his heart even more when one has heard the message of salvation and refuses to respond, thereby being saved from eternal damnation, being saved from perishing. Okay, so I'll read that again, 2 Peter, and then we're going to move on to another portion of scripture that will highlight and convey what is in God's heart when he looks at the plight of man and their sinfulness. Okay, so the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Again, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his desire. He doesn't will that anyone should perish, not even one. He doesn't desire that one should perish in eternal damnation, but he desires that all would come to repentance. Okay? This is the heart of God. This is the love that God has towards his sinful humanity. The heart of God, the love of God is so vast that we cannot fully comprehend it in our state, in our finite mind. Okay? We cannot comprehend it. The Bible says that God is love. That God is love. Okay, in other words, even in mathematics, we see the equation of the equal sign. The equal sign represents is. Okay, so when you say 1 plus 1 equals 2, it is the same as saying 2 equals 1 plus 1, or it is the same as saying that 1 plus 1 is 2. Okay, so 1 plus 1 is also 2. So when you hear that God is love, it's the same thing. Love in its full essence and its entirety is God. And God in his full essence and in the fullness of God is also love. itself. Okay, so love is God and God is love. So now if you can fully comprehend God, which no human being fully can comprehend God, because why? Because God is infinite. Okay, God is infinite. He's beyond the scope of even eternity. God created eternity. So God is even beyond eternity. If you could even grasp your mind around eternity, if you could grasp your mind around eternity, which no one really can, and the same is true with God. God is even way beyond the concept of eternity or the reality of eternity. So God cannot fully be comprehended by the human finite mind. A good analogy is, imagine trying to stuff a planet, or the biggest planet, Jupiter, any planet, it doesn't matter. Just trying to stuff a planet into an empty peanut butter jar. Okay, you just can't. It's impossible. Okay, let alone a planet. Now trying to stuff the whole universe into a jar, into that same jar. Okay, even more impossible. Now trying to stuff eternity into that same jar. Okay, impossible. Now it's trying to stuff God into that same jar. Absolutely impossible. And so that jar represents us, our mind, our capacity to understand. There's just no way that we can fully comprehend God. And so the same way that God in his entirety is just incomprehensible, the same is true with love, okay? Because we just said, and we know the scripture speaks that God is love, okay? So you cannot fully comprehend even the depth and the whole entirety of the love of God, okay? So God's love is so deep. It's so deep that it extends itself, that God himself extends himself, and he extends himself to his enemies, because that's what it ends up summing up to, that the world is also the enemy of God. And I am kind of jumping ahead of myself, but I wanted to just convey that and make that very, very clear. Okay, let's look at another portion of scripture, Ezekiel chapter 33. Let's turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 33, and we're going to also see another glimpse of God's heart and what his desires are, what he wills. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Okay, starting at verse 10, actually. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, verse 11, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? And so here's God's plea right here in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. He's pleading, and this, he says, and through his pleading, we can capture a glimpse of his love, even towards the wicked, okay? Even towards the wicked who persist in deliberate, stubborn sin. And in this case, he speaks to Israel, but the same is true for anyone who is a part of the human family. God pleads. He says, he's pleading that the wicked turn away, okay? That he doesn't have a desire. He doesn't desire that. He doesn't take any pleasure in seeing the wicked perish. There's no joy in that when God's heart sees this happen. There's no joy in watching the wicked continue down the wrong path, marching stubbornly towards the gates of hell. There's no joy there. There is none. And so he pleads, and he And the same is true today also. He is pleading. He pleads that the wicked turn away from their sin, that they turn away from their wickedness, and that they turn to God, and that they repent, that they make a change in their life to repent. Not only repent in your mind, in your thoughts, not only repent in your words, and also repent in your actions, to change, to have a change of lifestyle. Okay? And you cannot do it on your own. It can only be done by the power of God. You cannot change yourself by your own strength. It can only be done by the strength of God himself. Jesus made it very clear when he said that the flesh profits nothing. Okay? It is the Spirit. It is only by the Spirit that anything can be done, that anything is possible. So if you try to do things by your own strength, then you're going to find that it's going to be a pointless battle. Okay, you're going to keep finding yourself falling and being just, eventually you're going to give up, because it cannot work on your own strength. You have to receive God and receive his help. You have to receive Christ and allow the Lord to transform you in through his Holy Spirit, and to change your life that way. Okay, so he desires that the wicked turn away from wickedness and turn to him, turn to the Lord. And so we see that God so loved the world. We see the love of God. Okay, there's no desire. There's no willingness in God's part. There's no pleasure in God's part to see anyone perish. If, you know, he desires that all would come to repentance, everyone, all of humanity. He doesn't want to see even one perish at all. Okay, so now let's wrap this up, as we are getting close towards the end of this message. Okay, and we want to just, let's look at the scripture verse again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, so here, so God's love was conveyed by the action of him giving his Son, Christ coming to die for humanity. Let's look at Romans, the book of Romans, and let's look at Romans chapter 5. Okay. All right. And we're going to also see the love of Christ. Okay. We're going to see the love of Christ also conveyed here towards humanity. And this is going to sum it up here, okay, for this particular Bible study of encouragement. Okay, starting at verse 5, we read Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see that? Do you see that? Again, much more than, verse 9, much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Okay, so we just read it, and it was just summed up so beautifully that here, Christ demonstrated his love. God demonstrated his love through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ demonstrated his love through his sacrificial death for us. Listen, while we were his enemies, okay, we were the enemies of God because of sin. Sin separated us from God. Sin then caused us to become God's enemies. Sin had caused us to be God's adversary. The same way the devil is God's adversary, and when we're walking in disobedience, and when we have aligned ourselves with sin, we are also aligning ourselves with God's number one enemy, which is Satan, the devil. And so when we are in sin and we're in disobedience, we are also clumped up in the same group as God's enemies. And so that's why the world, in the state that it's in right now, is also known as the enemy of God, okay? And we're going to look at another scripture to verify that really quickly. Let's turn to James chapter 4, okay? James chapter 4, verse 4 also speaks of this too. This is James speaking, and he says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And also, let's turn to John chapter 7, verse 7. And we also have here our Lord speaking. And in this case, he was about to go to one of the feasts, the Feast of the Tabernacles. And then his brothers had a conversation with his brothers. I won't read the whole conversation because of time, but I do encourage you to read John chapter 7 in its entirety, the whole book of John, really. But John chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, verses 1 through 6, pretty much talks about the conversation. But this is the response that Jesus gives to his brothers in this conversation, okay? Verse 7, it reads, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil." Okay, so here, the testimony of the scriptures we just read in James by Brother James, the Apostle James, and our Lord Jesus Christ, that the world in the state that it's in, okay, is an evil, it's in a very evil state, and it's in the state of sin, okay? In humanity, whoever aligns themselves with the world has then and therefore aligned themselves with the enemy of God. And so here, going back to Romans 5, and actually let's go back to what Jesus said in the book of John. Jesus also testifies to this truth that the world hates him, okay? The world in its current state, it hates the message of Christ. It hates Christ. The world hates Jesus Christ because he testifies of its evilness, and he's the light that exposes its darkness. So it's not going to like Christ nor anything that is being said that conveys how evil it is. This message will not be accepted by the mind state of the world, okay? And what I'm speaking from God's word will also be rejected from the mind state of the world, okay? So now let's go to Romans, what we just read in Romans 5, to sum everything up. So here is the love of God. The love of God through Christ demonstrated through the sacrifice that Christ shed his blood, that he willingly died for humanity, that he gave up his life. Jesus said that he's the good shepherd. He laid down his life. No one takes his life from him, but he laid down his life. He voluntarily died for humanity, even though humanity hates him because of sin, and even though humanity has set themselves to be his enemy and his father's enemy. You see? So here's the love of God, to lay down his life. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. And while we were his enemies, he died for us. So just put yourself in that position. Would you ever die for your enemy? Would you actually lay down your life for someone who hates you? Most people wouldn't do that. But this is the love of God, that it penetrates even beyond the darkness of sin. And it penetrates and reaches out its hand to even his enemy. Okay? And so, if God has touched your heart through his word, I pray that the word of God has touched your heart. I pray that not only has his word found a place in your heart, I pray that your heart will actually receive his word, and that that your heart will receive the seed, and that this same seed of God's word will then be watered, and that the sunlight of Christ will shine on it, and that it will grow and bear fruit in your life, and that you'll be able to harvest this fruit, that you'll be able to harvest the produce and be able to share and give back to those who are around you that desperately need to know that God loves them and that God desires for them to be saved. Okay, so I would be very glad to hear from you, the listener, whoever you are. Send your message of encouragement, share your testimonies, any prayer requests, whatever the Lord places on your heart to share. I will be very glad to hear from you. You can visit us at feedingwithlove.org. That's feedingwithlove.org. You can go to our website, connect with us on Facebook. You can connect with me on my personal Facebook page if you like, or any other connections that are on the website, Instagram, Twitter. Okay? So I do encourage you to continue seeking God and continue being obedient to the word of God and to his voice as he continues to draw you to him, draw you to his love. All right? And so this is Gabriel once again speaking the word of God with from feedingwithlove.org, and you have a wonderful, blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen.